Welcome to our second edition of Page Turner's podcast, our Halloween edition. With me, as always, is the effulgent Kari Cooper. Hi, Kari.
Hi, Rob. I love being called effulgent, by the way.
I pulled that out just for you.
I was going to
ask you who you have with you on this special edition of our Halloween podcast.
Well, I cut you off because I'm so excited to have Mr. Sean Austin as our second October guest. Sean Austin, aside from being an accomplished musician and songwriter, as well as an author of two books, Shadow Chaser and Shadow Chaser the In-Between, is also a paranormal researcher who's been featured on Discovery Channel shows such as Ghost Loop and another show called Demon Files with another fairly famous demon hunter, Ralph Sarchi. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Let's start with your books. So, Sean, you wrote two books on paranormal research. Tell us about them. You wrote them with a, pardon the pun, ghostwriter as well, right?
Yeah, I basically voice texted all my stories and I kind of gave it to the editor and David Weatherly to kind of just, you know, glue it all together into a cohesive manner to the point where it could be, because I mean, if I had to sit there and try to grammatically correct everything, I'll never get a book done. So, you know, I got it done. I just wanted to focus on the elements and then look at it back when he would actually edit it down and chisel the statue, so to speak. And that's the way I did both books.
And so why did you decide to write books about your experiences?
Well, I realized after a certain amount of years I've been involved in the field that, you know, I felt like maybe it's time that I do write a book and maybe focus on something like that, because, some of these experiences that you have along the way, it's just, you know, it's not something that's just amazing for yourself, but I mean, you can bring spiritual awareness by, you know, getting these stories out there to have people relate to them, to make them know that they're not alone with dealing with some of this sort of stuff. And, you know, how to deal with some of the things that we can encounter as well when it comes to these dark energies.
So tell us about the writing process for you. You basically recorded your stories and then he wrote them and edited them. And then that was that. You sent them off to the publisher. It was like that easy.
Yep, pretty much. I voice texted it right on my phone, just sat there and just do, you know, part by part by part.
How long did that take you?
I would just, you know, do little bits and pieces when I could. The second book, I was focused on the first 3 months of, you know, even the summer started of 2020 when we had the pandemic. Like I wanted to accomplish something and try to do something positive for myself when everyone's not able to do anything or didn't want to do anything. We were trapped, we were inside and everyone was scared to be around each other. So I wanted to at least, you know, focus on something I could, get through and release. So I did it and just sat there, you know, in my room or like on the beach, you know, just by myself, just, you know, doing every little bit that I possibly could till I got, you know, to a certain amount of words that I felt like it had a good chunk and ready to hand in and see what we had from there.
Now, tell us about some of the, I know from your second book that you did a chapter on your experiences with the Amityville Horror House.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, sure. I years back, I went by the house and I was live streaming. I actually went to the grave of the DeFeo family first that day. And I was live streaming and, you know, I was asking questions like, what was the name of the demon that made, you know, Ron DeFeo kill his family? Gave me a demon's name. And then I'm like, who from the family's here? And it said John. And, you know, obviously that's one of the, you know, the children on the grave. I didn't know which one it was at the time, but I went back in my car and did a spirit box session in my car. And this kid started coming through, a voice saying, you know, it's me, John. And I asked him if you want me to pray for him. And he's like, please. I just never had something like that happen because the voice just kept on coming through over and over again, the same child's voice. And I did say a prayer for him. And then I went by the house and this kid's voice just continuously came through. And then a voice came through and said, George. It was after that I went home, and one of the first things I had happen was I had this vision that I was on the first, walking into the first floor of the house, and I looked up on the staircase on the second floor, and there were three perfect shadow figures looking down at me. And I yelled out to these shadow figures, and I said to them, in the name of Jesus Christ, if this boy John is stuck here, I command you to let him leave. And this piano in an adjacent room picked up and threw at me, and I felt the jolt from the piano in my bed. I woke up, I saw black mist go through my ceiling, and then I went to look at my phone. It was 3:15 in the morning, and that's really how it began. And very similar things would start to happen, waking up at 3:15 in the morning, dreams about the house, and I'd have all these weird circumstances, having, you know, just really, really bizarre things that would lead from one thing to another.
What, I don't know anything about this kind of stuff. So what is there a significance with 3:15?
Allegedly, that was the time of the murders that Ron DeFeo around and killed the entire family.
But they also say that demonic forces will come at 3 in the morning because it's against the Trinity. Like the they hit 3 times, right? You know, Sean, that is so interesting what you say about the second floor landing, because I interviewed Laura DiDio, and I don't know if you know who that is. Mm-hmm. She's a reporter that had the exclusive with the Warrens back in the 70s. And she went to that psychic sleepover, I say that with air quotes, that had the Warrens, Mary Pasquarelli, Laura DiDio, the Channel 6 news team, and George Lutz. Like, she knew George and Kathy well. And she said that nothing happened at the psychic sleepover. But one day she was out walking her dog, and she still had keys to the house. And she decided, you know what, it's middle of the day, she's going to go over there with her dog. And this was after the Warrens had investigated. And she, the whole time she had said, you know, nothing happened during that sleepover. You know, all these people felt things. She never felt anything. But she went over there that day, and she was standing in the house, and her dog started growling, looking up the stairs at that landing.
Yeah, and that was another one of the visions that I actually did have, because I would have a few, and one of them was, I was in the house and there was a black dog and he was barking at the wall. And then there was just all these old clocks everywhere, and they were all ding donging at 3:15 in the morning, and the dog would continuously bark. And then this black mist would come out of the wall. I would have chills. And then again, I'd see the black mist go through the ceiling, and I'd look at the time, it was 3:15 in the morning. I even had a vision as if I was floating over the Amityville house, and I heard thousands of flies buzzing in my ears. I even had one time I was with a girl in a cemetery live streaming, and all of a sudden this growl came through and said Amityville, and these flies were just all around me out of nowhere, all at the same time. And then I had like the voice of George Lutz come through my spirit box, and I'm really good, you know, being a musician, having a keen ear. I knew it was his voice, and I have it on my YouTube channel. He literally says, Amityville stole my soul. And I compared it on my video to his real voice in a real interview, and it's absolutely identical. And I asked him, why you follow me? He said, the chapter, it was before I was going to write the chapter about the story.
Doesn't that scare you? Like, having that sort of energy? Because obviously, you know, I've been told by other paranormal researchers that if you're looking into this stuff, they're looking at you. Like, they know, like, these forces are sentient. They're like,
yeah.
Do you ever get to a place where you're just frightened?
Well, I've come accustomed to so much over the years at this point. I mean, I've seen whatever you'd even imagine. I mean, hooves, tails, red eyes, fangs, like creatures of the night, like shadows with horns. I mean, in my bedroom, like right there in front of me, like I've just seen it all. And you know, that's where I just hold my faith true to heart and soul, because I've seen things of evil descent, of reacting negative religious significance. So that's what I use. I mean, you know, so I'm just back away. I know the game. I know what they're going to try to do. So it's kind of like, that's why it's so important for people to get involved in this work, is that you have to know how they can attack you from a psychological standpoint. It's the most delicate nature, an element of the paranormal, sort of negative
emotion. So she just sent a text to me saying something happened. So that's very chilling. Given the conversation we're having. Sean, are you okay?
I'm good.
Okay, great. So, Sean, again, I don't have a lot of experience in this world, but maybe you could tell us or at least me some things that we should worry about. Kari, are you okay? Are you back with us? So apparently we're getting like, a, not to make light, but like a spirit vibe of Kari coming through every now and then. But anyhow, Sean, you know, maybe tell us some things that we should look for or be on the lookout or that kind of thing.
Well, like I said, you know, this stuff is, it's not a game. I mean, I know it is like a thrill ride. It's endlessly fascinating. And we take risks even just investigating haunted locations. And that's why I always tell people to read up, you know, by some of the pioneers, like the Warrens, John Zaffis, and Ralph Sarchi, who was my mentor in demonology, you know, cases and things that they went on, that you could learn about in the worst case scenarios and, you know, to define your spirituality, because you can't do things with your fists or guns. So you need to figure that out and know how these things can attack so you can kind of avoid those spiritual collisions, so to speak.
Sorry, so Kari is not able to hear us, even though it looks like she's still here and the recording is still going.
Kind of like a ghost.
Yeah. And she supposedly has control of the recording. So I'm not sure if we should continue talking or if I should boot her out and we should restart.
Whatever you guys got to do.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. This has not happened to us before. So can either blame the subject matter or we can blame technology.
Well, she threw it out into the universe because she said, you know, every time Sean comes on, weird things happen.
Something weird happens. And so maybe we shouldn't have tempted fate with that one. Let's just give her another couple of minutes and we'll go on. So as a, you know, as a naive individual in this, you said, you know, look up some of the pioneers in this subject. So, Kari, welcome back.
I've said it before and I say it again. Weird things happen around Sean Austin. I'm not sure why. This is not the first time that it's happened around Sean Austin. This is the first time that I've had these technical difficulties.
Yeah, we've done so. Happy anniversary, Kari. We've done this for a whole year, and we have never dropped a recording like that. So I'm with you. Weird things happen around Sean Austin. Thank you, Sean.
I blame Sean. I'm sorry.
Wouldn't be the first.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, Sean. Does this happen often?
I've had weird things happen. Yeah,
like all the time. I don't know where we left off, but we were talking about the Amityville Horror and just the you having doing the hauntings and having. I want to know, and I've always wanted to know this. You said you asked the demon his name or its name. What's the name?
Belial.
Oh, that's like one of the major ones, is there?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one at the house.
Well, that's the one that it responded me with, you know, be objective about what you hear. But yeah, that's one of them. But I think there's probably more there might be ones that are associated with stuff. But, you know, the things with the flies, that's a different demon too. So there's probably more than one, but maybe that's one specifically that was assigned to Ron. I mean, but that's something just to speculate and theorize.
Now, in your book, in the second book, Shadow Chaser, you talk about a possessed pregnant girl. What's that about?
Yeah, it's a girl that contacted me online, and she was bullied in high school, and her aunt was heavily into witchcraft, and she decided to do a huge spell and to become popular and to not deal with what she was dealing with, and, you know, did a black candle ritual with a pentagram and dripped blood on a candle. And that's where she felt something go through her. And, you know, she would send me pictures of being scratched. I was just learning about stuff. You know, I wasn't really versed in demonology at the time. And then she just for a while came back. She was pregnant for a second child. And that's when all hell broke loose. And that's where I experienced just unbelievable, crazy, scary stuff. She'd be calling me all the time. Now, mind you, she's thousands of miles away. no one wanted to touch the case with a 10-foot pole because the poor girl was pregnant. If something happened to the baby, you could be held responsible. But, you know, I felt, you know, emotionally invested to try to help her because, you know, she was calling me all the time. I didn't know what to do, you know. And actually that story in the second book just became a documentary that we just released two nights ago called Devil Down South. And you can watch that at scarenetwork.tv and you can stream it to your TV through Fire Stick on the app Scare Network or Apple for free with a few bucks for the rental. But it goes into really deep, and I actually play a bunch of the recordings of her speaking English backwards to, you know, her hissing at me when I put the cross up to the phone without her being able to see me, to, you know, pictures and videos of her being choked and a demon's name coming through. I mean, it's a harrowing emotional roller coaster ride that I went through with her. I mean, I was physically attacked. I had visions and crazy things happen with her. I knew it was legit. And, you know, it really shows the dangers of messing around with this sort of stuff. And hopefully, you know, even if it's one person out there or many, you know, to sway away from taking that risk and inviting that evil or darkness into your life.
That's so intense. Has any of the malevolent spirits that you've dealt with throughout your research, have any of them like followed you home or?
Well, yeah, that also brings me to, you know, one of the stories in my first book, which was a story of a place that I went to with a buddy of mine, Dave Spinks, in Ohio, that we were originally supposed to investigate this place across the street, but we were staying in a cottage, and psychically I picked up that women were tortured there, killed and sexually assaulted. And, you know, we found out later on that, you know, that there was an evil doctor doing illegal abortions on the prostitutes at the brothel across the street. And some of the babies might be buried on the property. And that's where this whole thing unfolded, where I ended up, I believe, crossing over two female spirits that was in the grasp of this evil, demonically influenced spirit of this man that once lived and a demonic force behind it. And it wanted to seek revenge against me and, you know, would reference itself for quite a few years, but not until the year of the pandemic, where it tried to, you know, influence a chaotic experience in a potential relationship with someone and took credit for, you know, the fallout from it. I knew I had to return back to the place. So the documentary, Malefice, M-A-L-E-F-I-C-E, A True Demonic Haunting, tells that story and shows the clips from my live streams when we first went back in 2015. And then we investigated the place for 4 days to validate everything I experienced years ago and what happened to me when I went home, and also to do an exorcism on the house to ultimately try to rid the evil from the location and from trying to take revenge against me from taking a soul away from the devil.
Oh my goodness. And you've been doing this for quite a while, because was Demon Files the first show that you were on?
Yep.
Okay. And then that was with Ralph Sarchi. Now, for anybody who's listening, you might have heard of Ralph Sarchi through the movie Deliver Us from Evil that came out in 2014, starring Eric Bana, and Olivia Munn played his wife. What was that like for you?
Ralph's an intense guy, but, you know, he really is in his work and his faith, and that's why he has a respected name for himself over the years. I was obviously, you know, like a scared little puppy around him, because I just, you know, he asked me to come on some cases after I had him on a podcast, when, because I used to have a podcast of my own too, and right. You know, yeah, it just led to doing the Demon Files, and, you know, we kept on having a personal relationship, and he mentored me in demonology to maybe becoming a demonologist myself, currently in this present day.
Well, what a great mentor, because yes, he is very intense, but he's also very dedicated to his faith and his, yep, and his belief that demons are bullies and he's not going to be bullied and nobody else should be as well. Like, he's very intense in his faith, equally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Intense.
100%.
And like, I follow him on Facebook, and, you know, he's a very opinionated man, but I think that he's a very good man as well.
He is a good, loyal, faithful man indeed. 100%. That's why I love the guy.
yeah he's really a neat guy, and I love his cats. But he, so he mentored you, and then Demon Files didn't have, that was one season?
Yeah, it was just three episodes.
Three episodes, okay. But you had another show on the Travel Channel. Well, Travel Channel here, it's Discovery Channel in America, right?
Well, they still have Travel Channel in America, but Discovery Plus now. So now you can watch Demon Files and also Ghost Loop, the other show that I was on. You can watch both of those on Discovery Plus now.
On Discovery Plus. What do you think of the other paranormal shows that are out there, like Ghost Adventures or...
Well, I mean, Ghost Adventure paved the way for a lot of people to, you know, it's probably the most popular ghost show that has come out. They definitely get some phenomenal pieces of evidence. I mean, they've been able to hit up so many different locations, but, you know, there's a lot of different shows and stuff, and people have different methods. I don't judge anyone's different methods than I do, but I mean, you know, being on TV, it's a different ball game when you got to film stuff and the pressure of having a, you know, the TV thing and all the stuff that goes behind the scenes and stuff like that. But, you know, it is a humbling gift to be able to get up there, you know, on camera and just to be a part of something that you're passionate about doing and making a difference, trying to make an impact, spiritually speaking, and bring awareness to people that are watching. And that's why I've also been live streaming for so many years, and to show that, you know, even without editing in my favor, you know, the evidence that I produce and I show live in front of many people, they know that it's legit, and they know that, you know, there's less, you know, reason for them to, you know, think that I would be faking stuff. Cause there's a lot of, you know, kids out there, especially YouTubers and stuff like that, who probably used to be Urbex explorers, but now, you know, they brought paranormal into their niche because they realized that's a really popular genre that they can tap into, and they start faking everything so they can be on TV or get attention or get like millions of followers. And it makes paints a bad picture for someone like myself or other people that are passionate about the subject, which is, you know, very disheartening and frustrating and just annoying. But, you know, in the end, you just got to keep doing what you're doing, persevere, focus on, you know, what you are meant to be doing in this, and use your experience and your knowledge to help people in any way that you can. And that's what I do. Whether I get a opportunity to be on TV or whatever it is, I just do what I do and just keep doing it.
What's the case that you worked on that affected you the most?
Well, I'd say the Malifus case was the one that stuck with me for so long. That was so unique to me personally, because that was just, I was right there in person and it came home with me, and you know, referencing for so many years, wanting revenge, constantly talking about how I took those women away from it. And obviously, you know, the possession case that we just released a documentary, that was a very unique story too. Like the stuff that went on with this girl, I mean, I've never even heard about a girl that was possessed while she was pregnant.
Yeah.
You think about like the movie Rosemary's Baby, but you know, that was just like she was pregnant and she was going to give birth to, I don't know, like something to the cult. But I mean, this girl was carving upside down crosses on her pregnant belly in a trance. I mean, she was digging dirt out in the yard and coming out of a trance, not knowing she was there, driving home with her friend. There's blackbirds hitting the car while she's calling me, and I'm hearing the pelts from the birds, and these girls are screaming bloody murder because these birds are coming out now, are like trying to kamikaze the car. I mean, there's so much to the story. It's just insane. But yeah, I mean, those are really two unique pieces to my paranormal puzzle of my journey. It's interesting that documentaries ended up being made about them.
So go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to ask, what's the most positive experience that you've had throughout all this? A lot of it is really scary, really dark. What have you had any like really uplifting positive moments that have shown up?
Yeah, I've been visited by, you know, angels before. I've had visions of angels. I've had, you know, visions regarding Jesus. One of the times an angel came to me and I just felt this amazing bright light over my body. And it just felt like pure tranquil peace. Like I was laying on the beach with the ocean water and seawater, salt water in the air, and just the sun on my face, just magnified by a million. And it said, peace be with you. And it kind of gave me like a warning, kind of a guiding warning to deal, how to deal with dark energies and what you have to deal with, before I was really starting to And then it said to me something that will live with me forever, which I think is something we should all live by, is believe in yourself to be greater than you think you are. Because I don't think it's something that we should just, you know, depend on God to live our lives for us. I mean, we want, you know, faith in our situations and have that guidance, but we really do have to believe in ourselves to accomplish what we're able to potentially accomplish, even if, you know, it doesn't seem that you can.
I think that's amazing advice. And I think for our listeners out there who are writers, that is actually, that is absolutely fundamental in your writing journey, is you do have to believe that you are greater than you think you are. Wouldn't you say, Rob?
No, yeah, absolutely. That's, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to attempt, even attempt to achieve something, you have to go and give it that, that additional effort, right?
I love that advice. And that, I love that. What a great question, Rob.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, no,
I wasn't laughing. I was just like, yeah, that was nice. That was a good one.
It was actually beautiful. I almost have tears in my eyes because I think what a lot of people don't understand is most paranormal researchers are deeply spiritual people. And I think you have to be in order to have that element of protection. And to be able to help other people, you have to have some pretty good forces on your side, wouldn't you say, Sean?
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, that's why my faith is so strong. It's because my faith does protect me. I've witnessed it protect me from evil spirits. They recoil. They back away from that. I mean, just like I said from the story of the girl who was possessed, I mean, I was on the phone with her, and the real audio is on the documentary, Devil Down South. You know, she couldn't see me on the phone, and she was talking like a man on the voice going, "Sean, she's mine." And I put the cross up to the phone and she can't see me. And right as the cross, 6-inch cross hits the phone, she hisses at me. I mean, you know, it's experiences like that, that just like you can't explain. And why would it be reacting something to that like that? So that's, again, things like that. That's why I don't mess around. And my faith is very strong wherever I step into, which also starts to tap into the way I approach the paranormal when it comes to going to haunted places and has, you know, earthbound spirits, ghosts that are stuck, and offering them prayer. That's something that, you know, I try to show mutual respect and let them know that I'm humbled to be able to speak with you, to experience you. If you manifest, you talk with me. And if you need help, say the word pray. And if you say the word pray, then I know that you're not something mocking, that I will do say a prayer, because I don't think any evil spirit would ever ask you to pray for any reason and bring you closer to God. So and it's been such a reciprocating experience when it comes to the spirits and what they're willing to do and say. And I really do believe I've had my hand in crossing over spirits and helping them. Not something I can prove, but, you know, I do have evidence of leaning towards that notion over the years. And obviously even the story Malefic is something that, you know, stuck around with me for many years, wanting revenge, because I think the devil had these souls of these women somehow, and it was pissed off. You know, having that genuine, real intent and approaching these spirits, because we're all brothers and sisters, we come from the same source of light, and we should treat each other with that same respect, whether we're living or dead.
So that's great. Yeah,
it is. And that's one of the things I loved about doing the paranormal show when I did it, was meeting all these people who have, because like your question, Rob, there is the dark, but there's also the light. And so it's one opposite ends of the spectrum to the extreme, which I find really interesting. Sean, explain to the listeners, because this is a literary podcast, so it's we'll probably have a lot of people who aren't familiar with the paranormal, but explain to the listeners the difference between malevolent forces and ghosts.
You're talking about like demons and ghosts?
Yeah, I hate the word demon. It just freaks me out.
Yeah. Well, demons are fallen angels. They never lived in the physical plane. They're inhuman. So, you know, God created man for the sole purpose to have our souls live in these physical bodies as a vessel, to have an opportunity to bring a brightness to our soul with our free will, to do things that are right and have the choice to do right or wrong and how it affects people negatively or positively. That's why the devil and demons hated us, didn't want to worship a creature that has no higher knowledge. And that's why these demons are down here after battling with God and the angels to make an example out of us, to make us want to, you know, suffer in any sort of way that they possibly can, and make an example, look up to God and say, man can't handle it. This is why you shouldn't have created man. Ghosts are just human spirits that have not let go of the human life that they once lived, whether it's they're attached to a location, an object, or they want justice for their death. Were they murdered? Were they in a car accident? Were they robbed of their life at a young age? Is something holding them back? Are they trapped? You know, there's so many diversified manners of people dying, you know, on this planet that could lead to the recipe of what we call a ghost. So, but that really is, as a whole, you know, ghost being a human spirit that is earthbound.
But so it's just the fallen angels that don't like people. So that, what was the difference then? They were just the angels that fell, but the angels that decided to follow God and to respect humans.
Yes. The angels that stayed with God respect humans and stood and fought against the devil and the demons. Yep.
And the fallen angels. That's
yeah. I mean, fallen angels are the demons. Yep.
So they both have the equal amounts of power and wisdom and knowledge. Is that true?
Of course.
What do you mean?
Well, they definitely have a lot of power and knowledge. That's why they use it against us in any way that they can if we invite them into our lives.
That's terrifying. And then that's from the ultimate book, folks, the Bible right there, right? The book of all books. What do you think? Sorry, go ahead.
It's a fascinating story, the whole battle, just to think about that. And, you know, it's interesting, even the documentary, the kid in the documentary, he was 3 years old at the time. And the description of the vision that this kid had will give you chills. He saw millions and millions of demons. And his description of what he saw was something just so amazing. He said he saw God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And then he said he saw a devil and, you know, all the demons. And God was on some white horse, but you'd think it was a white horse, but it wasn't just a white horse. It was something else. And he said that Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit all had swords. And I don't remember if each one's correct here. I stand correct here, but he said that God had the sword of judgment. Jesus had the sword of justice, and Holy Spirit had the sword of truth. And when they all met to go up against the devil and demons, all three swords formed into one big sword. And he said that the devil was on a black horse and the mane was on fire and the rib cage was showing on the side. And he called his sword the devil's tongue because it looked like a huge long tongue coming out of a demon's mouth. And he said, when God took his first step, half the demons fell. And then the other step, the other half demons fell. This is coming from a 3-year-old.
That's intense.
Yeah.
And that's from Malefice. And that's mm-hmm. that one. And that's the first documentary that you had come out.
Wait, I'm sorry. No, that's Devil Down South. That's the boy. That's the son from the case of the girl who was possessed.
Okay, so she'd already had a kid.
Yes, this was her second child that she was pregnant with.
The boy was three years old
at the time. And I had so many crazy experiences. I mean, this kid was being influenced too. A thing came to this boy at 3 years old and told him that he was a little boy that died at a train tracks nearby. And he called himself 9. He would make the little boy go up to the doorknob, turn it 9 times. And then he'd go tell him to take the full bottle of like liquid Tylenol so he can come play with him forever, or put the fork in electrical socket.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Robert, are you still there?
No, I'm still, I'm curious, when you go into these things, like you must do some preparation, right? You must do some research to make certain, you know, like what is the history of this and what's the history of the place and that kind of stuff. And so I'm like, could you walk us through that? And then like, I'm curious, do you like have a kit of things that you bring? Like, and can you tell us about that? Like those things?
Well, I mean, if someone calls me about a case, I would kind of like try to like perceive if this person's telling the truth, if it's something that sounds legit or genuine in nature when it comes to paranormal, or if it's something that's inhuman, they might have an infestation or an oppression, which is psychological breakdown of the individual. And, you know, if I think that they're telling some truths, I would go check it out myself. Now, you know, I'd like to investigate to see what we're dealing with. You know, I have medium abilities, so I'm sensitive to stuff, but I'd like to use the equipment to see if we can validate if we're dealing with a human spirit or a non-human spirit. And if it's a human spirit, then I would do a blessing of the house. I, personally, me, I'd like to get down an individual level and try to cross over the spirit and pray for them, give them incentive to go if they're just stuck and they're just trying to get acknowledgement in the house from the people. But if it's something malevolent, then I'd have to forcefully try to displace it by doing the ritual, the exorcism ritual on the house, which would incorporate, you know, the blessed frankincense, the blessed salt, the holy water, blessed metals, and smoking it out, you know, getting sealing the property. It's, you know, whole thing.
And I assume it's a process, right? A series of steps that you have to follow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not like you don't just wing it like, oh, this one definitely needs salt, but less smoke or anything like that. I again, just curious, like.
I mean, if you're using frankincense, you want to smoke out the entire house. You want to go to a little dark crevice or hole that it could hide, because if you miss a spot, it can kind of like sit there and then kind of like reach its hands back in.
Gotcha. Okay.
So do you smudge like with sage or?
I don't use sage. You know, I've been on cases where people have used sage and they're dealing with a demonic spirit, and it got quiet for a couple of days and it got 10 times worse. I mean, if people are dealing with like easy peasy stuff for negativity, like, you know, sure. I think that you know, possibly that could work for somebody, but I mean, if you're dealing with something inhuman, it would laugh at that. It's like nothing to them.
Yeah. Like that sage is like nothing. It's like blowing smoke at a oncoming train.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So with the demonic forces, it's more about prayer, and it's mostly prayer, isn't it?
It's a whole exorcism ritual prayer with holding the frankincense and throwing the holy water in every corner, every part of the house as you're going throughout the house. And then we take blessed St. Benedict medals and put them in the four corners of the property, reciting the Archangel Michael prayer.
You say we, do you have a partner?
I mean, I do cases on my own. If I need assistance, I'll bring on like a colleague or someone that I trust that's been on cases with me before.
And is that helpful to have a partner?
Yeah,
there?
I mean, depending on if it's like a really serious case or if it sounds like a serious case, or if I have an inkling or an intuitive feeling that it might be serious, then I wouldn't go alone, just in case something does happen.
Gotcha. Okay.
So how do you replenish after this dark work?
Well, I ground myself all the time. But you know, I work out, anything that's going to fight negativity with positivity. Again, just having a realization of how these things can mess with you and go after you. So you have to have that realization. If something tries to, you know, wreak havoc and kind of creep into your life somehow. But I constantly bless my place. I bless my car if I'm leaving places that are, there's no guarantee. Things still do happen occasionally. But that's just how it goes.
What's the worst thing that ever happened to you?
The worst?
Yeah.
Scary?
Yeah.
Gosh, I've had so many scary things happen to me. I mean, just last summer, I went to the house where the boy David Glatzel was possessed from, that was based on the Conjuring 3 movie.
No way. You went to that house?
I didn't go inside. I went by the house.
Oh, God.
And then I picked up psychically. I saw like an arm with like scales on it and three big fat fingers with curly fingernails. And I ended up at another haunted place that night, and it followed us there. And I felt its energy there. It was so bad and so dark. I felt it like it wanted to come up and choke everyone there in the room. And, you know, it followed me for like a couple of weeks. I woke up one night, I had a vision where like this 8-foot shadow was walking in my hallway. And then next thing you know, like I just saw a flash of these hooves in my room and a tail and then just loud growl. I woke up with the chills, and it was following me for like a couple of weeks. I made a video about it on my YouTube, the whole story, what happened. It was going on for a while. And I was actually talking to David Glatzel's sister, who showed me, you know, how to get to the house. And even the rental property that nobody really knows where it was. And because originally David had said that the demon came from the well, and the well was at the rental property where he originally was staying at before he went to that house, that other house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I found the house. The night before I went to the house, I had this vision. I was floating up to the well, and there were fall leaves everywhere. And I was looking down the well, and I could just see these yellow reptilian eyes looking at me. I just knew I knew that I was going to see the well. So I pulled up to the house and I saw the owner that lives there now outside. And I just walked right up to him, and he knew obviously about the house, and he let me go back to the well, and I did a spirit box session right there. And it was pretty creepy, but it stood with me for a while. I had a couple of really creepy things happen. I'm just giving you an example of something creepy, because I've had so many things happen along the way. But I mean, you name it, I've seen it. I mean, you know, just from Malifus, the documentary, it was like, you know, thing with horns, you know, it spoke to me, and it just like said, there are rules, in a really subwoofery type deep voice. I think it was referencing the spirits that I crossed over. I don't know, red eyes, glowing eyes, yellow glowing eyes, shadowy figures, black mists, you know, creatures. I mean, whatever you can think of, I've probably seen it.
Sean, you mentioned your YouTube channel where folk can go see like your raw footage or your somewhat edited footage. Did you tell us where that is?
So if you just search on YouTube, Sean Austin Paranormal, SEANAUSTIN Paranormal, it'll pop right up.
Okay.
Sean Austin Paranormal Investigation and Music, because I also have my music on there, being a musician. And yeah, I mean, I'm leaving for a trip tomorrow. I'm going to be live streaming on my YouTube and TikTok four nights in a row. We're doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And even Monday, we're going to be back at Bobby Mackey's, which is my fourth time there.
Wow. That place is really haunted, from what I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And you're on Periscope as well, right?
Periscope stopped. So I went to YouTube for the last live streaming on there, but I started kind of like live streaming on TikTok, and it's been pretty good too. So I'm going to be live on both when I do these big investigations, so people can go back and forth.
Okay. Well, we'll share the links for your, and you're very active on Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm.
So people can follow you there. Did you know that you can go and investigate the Conjuring House now? Have you had a chance to do that?
Yeah, I did that in January 2020.
And?
Yeah, it's definitely very active. That video is on my YouTube too. I caught like a shadowy type thing, weird voices and noises, all sorts of stuff.
And that guy's really sick now. Corey Heinzman or Heinzener's his name is? They're selling the house. Did you know that? Yeah.
He's a nice guy. I heard something like that. I didn't really read up on what he was dealing with health wise, but yeah.
But I wonder if it's to do with the house.
You know, that's something you can speculate about, you know?
Because they do affect you that way.
It can happen.
Intense and interesting.
What's something that you would like regular folk like me with whatever from the media that you could easily debunk, like something that we always get wrong or the media always gets wrong?
Well, I know a lot of people when they first start out, I know it's very easy. It gets very exciting when you start to believe in the paranormal. You see everything like, you know, in pictures and, you know, that everything's orbs. I even did it myself when I first started. I'm like, oh my God, there's orbs everywhere. It's not the case, but I am a believer in balls of light, you know, spirit energy in the form of a sphere. It's a consciousness of energy. I see it with my own eyes, and I've seen them on video. I have captured it on video. That is definitely not dust or a bug. So, you know, you have to learn how to differentiate between something that's dust, bug, or something that would be a light anomaly, otherwise a spirit.
Orbs. What about, so you have to be really careful about what you're filming and what you think you're filming.
Yeah. I mean, like there's things that fly by the camera and stuff. So, you know, I would look for something that defies gravity that would have like almost a path to its own, an intelligence. So then it only zeroes down to two things. Is it a bug or is it spirit energy? So, you know, that's something that you'd have to decipher for yourself.
What's one of the worst mistakes you think somebody who is thinking about getting into doing paranormal research, like such as yourself, what's one of the worst mistakes you think that a new person could make, like somebody who's inexperienced?
Provoking, because provoking is an invitation. And these evil spirits are looking for people to spit out the right specific words to have that invitation. And that invitation can be received and opened at any point in your life. Months, years down the line, we have no idea that has anything to do with the paranormal. where it can actually use that time period to victimize, you know, you to the best ability and everyone around you, because it doesn't want to be recognized for what it's doing from the shadows. And that's the delicate nature. Again, there's no conception of time in the spirit world. So they're going to take advantage of that where you're not noticeable of that. So if you're not knowledgeable of that, these things know this and they'll use it against you in any way possible.
So when you say provoking, do you mean like calling out to spirits or talking about them, or?
No, provoking is in like, say, do something to me, attack me, touch me. I mean, literally inviting it to harm you is literally, that can be, that invitation can be taken any time in your life.
So like when you're like 60 and you're just not interested in it anymore and you have grandkids and like just, they just bide their time.
I mean, I don't, I've never heard of something happening that late, but you know, I've been on cases where like 30, you know, 35 years, 40 years later, after a couple with a Ouija board and I investigated their house and they don't know why they're having paranormal activity out of nowhere. And they admitted that they played with a Ouija board that long ago. And now they had a hooded, red glowing eyed figure at the corner of their 8-year-old or 10-year-old son's bed telling him to cut himself. So, you just don't know.
I just had this conversation with somebody recently about they had bought a couple secondhand Ouija boards and were having nightmares. And, you know,
because
and
Ouija so, you boards, know, if they're used and there's, you know, it's like a haunted dolls and stuff like that. You don't know what they were used with or what has permission to latch itself onto that. And these Ouija boards are opening up doorways. It's basically just a moving portal. So wherever that goes, it can allow things to come in and out of.
So, and so you firmly believe that Ouija boards are a dangerous thing.
Okay. So it's not the Ouija board per se. So it's really the intent of the individual. I sitting at a table right now, I could carve letters and numbers on this table and take a pint glass and put my fingers on it. And my intent is to energize an inanimate object to open up itself to the spirit world, to communicate with whatever wants to speak with me. And you know, the danger lies, I believe, when you're moving with the spirit on that glass, it might turn into some inadvertent permission to channel through you, because the books that I've read when I was learning about demonology is that 95% of demonic hauntings start with a Ouija board. And the most famous exorcism in this country was the movie The Exorcist, which is a true story of a boy, and it happened, started out with a Ouija board.
Is that because of the mindset you get into with those items? It's not because it's wood and numbers and whatever. It's because we associate those with those things.
It's your intent. What's your intent to do with that object? What, like, are you want to use, you know, it's like a ritual. You know, you're taking candles, you're putting it on the floor. I mean, if we just take a candle, our intent is to light up the room. That's your intent. But if your intent is to line it up around a circle and a pentagram and try to communicate with dark spirits to have them have you think that they're going to, you know, give you pleasure in the world and give you materialistic things, then that's a different ballgame.
And so going the other direction, like if your intent with the Ouija board or the candles is to communicate with light spirits, with angels, does that work too, or is it still not appropriate?
You know, that's the thing. You don't know who you're speaking with, and they have information that no one else would know but you. They could disguise themselves as a loved one from heaven when in fact, you know, it's really a demonic spirit. So even though your intent wants to speak with something, but you know, you're using a something that could speak to anything. Now I use spirit boxes and hold them and stuff, but in my opinion, it's a different ballgame, because again, you're moving with the spirit as if like you're being a part of the spirit. That's my opinion. I feel like there's some sort of connection to that, kind of like the dowsing rods, because you're using intent to have the spirit move with you. There's got to be some sort of connection. Even seances I consider dangerous. And even, you know, the real story about The Conjuring, if you know, when the Warrens were over at the house in Rhode Island, you know, at the time, you know, they didn't have the pieces of equipment that we had. So they only had a psychic, and it had cameras and video cameras and like old things that they do. So that's why they would be pushing the envelope. And they did a seance in that house. And then Mrs. Perrin, you know, started, I think, speaking in tongues, or got thrown up against the wall. And that's where Ed Warren, you know, got punched because, yeah, you know, things got worse. But, you know, during those time periods, they were trying to get answers and pushing the envelope, which is understandable. But, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I saw people doing a seance months ago in the Bel Air house, and I'm like watching, I'm not taking part in that shit. And I took a picture, and right next to this lady at the table are two yellow glowing eyes watching the table. I'm just like, you know, that's right, because these things are watching. They know what you're doing, and they're looking for any sort of opportunity, and you don't know who they're going to individually target for whatever that reason.
Yeah, I interviewed Andrea Perrin twice, and she told us some pretty horrific things about that seance, about seeing her mom twisted into impossible shapes and thrown 12 feet. And then a voice coming out of her.
Yeah.
And so, and these are the things. What advice do you, would you give to people who want to, because it's really trendy, you know, Ouija boards and all this paranormal research and it's just so in pop culture, you know, The Exorcist, all these scary movies. What advice would you give to somebody who, you know, wants to become a paranormal researcher?
I just read books. You know, the Warrens, the first book I ever read was The Demonologist by Ellen Ray Warren.
Right. By George.
Talk about the cases.
Yeah.
I read just that like book. The Conjuring. You know, it's very easy to read. It's informative, and you can learn about, you know, the worst case scenarios that can go on. You know, I read John Zaffis's book and Ralph's book, and then like this other book. I was reading books to kind of learn about some of the most amazing cases and experiences people had. And once you learn about that, you have to define your spirituality, because that is your armor. It's your spirituality, is not muscles or guns. So, you know, you can't fight that with your physical muscles. So, you know, that's something that, you know, you're going to learn the hard way, or you're going to prepare yourself for dealing with something like that.
Well, I think that's about all the time we have for now. What an interesting show this was. Sean, thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. Anytime.
Sean, can you give us your, would you list your books and anything else you want to plug right now for everybody listening?
Absolutely. So if you want a signed copy of either of my books and you live in the U.S., you can go to my website, Sean D. Austin, S-E-A-N, D as in David, A-U-S-T-I-N.com. Or a signed copy DVD of Malefice. I'll mail that as well. Otherwise, you can get my books on Amazon, even in Canada, if you're in Canada. And scarenetwork.tv, you can watch both Malefice, A True Story of a Demonic Haunting, and Devil Down South regarding the possessed girl who was pregnant. You can watch it from the website. I'm pretty sure in Canada, too. Or you can download on Fire Stick the app Scare Network or Apple as well, and then rent it from there. So that's pretty much it for now.
And follow Sean on Twitter and Instagram. What's your handle on TikTok?
My handle's the same on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. It's Sean D. Austin, S-E-A-N, Sean. David, A-U-S-T-I-N.
Sean D. Austin. Well, thank you so much, Sean, for coming on the show. And good night to our guests. This is our second Halloween show. So lucky for you guys, we had the very scary but very spiritual and lovely Sean Austin. And thank you so much for coming on the show. And as usual, shout out to our sponsors, Goodwin Greenhouse Supply and Service. That's all for tonight. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Kari.
Good night, Rob.